Hello, I'm Lizzie Solano, and the title of the podcast you're listening to right now is The Fifth Amendment Solving Discontentment. So we have Sophie here today. I'm going to be interviewing her about the underlying themes and just on everything about the Fifth Amendment. Sophie, who are you here representing today?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on this podcast. It's a really great honor. In an important court meeting recently, I was asked about a little bit of description of the Fifth Amendment, and it came to my attention that a lot of people don't really know about the Fifth Amendment, like what it means, what are all the elements of it. I mean, sure, people know about the right to remain silent, but no one really knows all the other elements of the Fifth Amendment, so I'm here hoping to educate all the other people about what the Fifth Amendment really is.
Thank you for coming today. So are you a professional historian?
Yeah, sorta. I went to college majoring in history, and I'm just very interested in everything it entails. Especially, court, civil.
Yeah, that's an interesting route to take your life in. So, who is the sponsor? Do you know who the sponsor of this podcast is?
Yeah, actually, when I got the call up asking me to do it, they told me that it was Beats by Dr. Dre for the noise-canceling headphones.
Oh.
And I immediately realized that was a little bit of a play on the right to remain silent.
Yeah. All right. So, when do you think the amendment was at the peak of its importance? Fifth Amendment.
That's an interesting question.
Excuse me. I meant to say, just to start off, could you please state what the amendment, like, actually states, the Fifth Amendment? Because as you said before, not many people know about what it fully states. So could you just state that?
So not directly from the Constitution, in paraphrasing, it basically, what it does is creates rights that are really relevant to criminal and civil legal proceedings. So basically it guarantees the right to a grand jury. It forbids double jeopardy, which basically means if someone is tried for a crime, they cannot be, and a decision is made, and they're free, they cannot be tried for the same crime a second time.
Yeah.
It also protects against incrimination, which is basically the right to remain silent.
Yeah.
It also requires fair treatment through the judicial system to be a part of any proceeding that denies a citizen life, liberty, or property.
Mm-hmm.
It also requires the government to compensate citizens when it takes private property for public use, which is basically compensation for eminent domain.
Yeah. All right. Well, now that we know what the amendment states, when do you think it was at the peak of its significance?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting question, because the thing is ever since it was invented in the Constitution and the Constitution was ratified, the Fifth Amendment has always been extremely important. Mm-hmm. However, once we go deeper into it, we see that one component that was at the peak of its importance was actually the limits on eminent domain, and that was during World War II, so back 1939 to 1945.
Wait, just to clarify, what is eminent domain, just for the...
So eminent domain is basically the fact that if you have private property, the government can take it for public use. And they can use it. And basically the Fifth Amendment is protecting people from that, and citizens, because it's saying that if they do take your private property, they will compensate and they will pay you something to give back to the fact that they took your land.
So they don't have the right to just take it away without
compensation.
Okay. All right.
And so it was at the peak of its importance, World War II, as I was saying, because at this time the government was taking land because they needed to build airports, naval stations, they needed space for war materials and manufacturing, storage, and proving grounds, and many national defense installations.
Mm-hmm.
So this was very helpful for the Americans to fight in this war, and obviously they were going to need lots of land, and that's where the eminent domain comes in.
Wow, I'm very shocked as just a podcast owner to, like, see the full, everything kind of seems to come back to the Fifth Amendment, and I feel foolish for not knowing, like, what the Fifth Amendment truly states. So,
I wouldn't feel that way, because the reason I'm here is because so many people don't, so.
Yes, exactly. All right, so We're going to go into Act 2 of this podcast, which, and to start it off, kind of building off of what you said last, what would you say were the most significant aspects that we have studied so far, just of this amendment, just like the biggest ideas that you would want to first just get off your chest and tell everyone, if they could know one thing about the amendment, this is what you would want them to know?
Well, the amendment was in the Bill of Rights, and that shows an importance of the law to the people of America, mm-hmm. and it's published in 1791, and the rest was between 1792.
Yeah.
Also, it's seen present in the 14th Amendment, so
there's really
a little bit of collation there, and they kind of connect within each other.
So that does show how important it was if it was stated first and if it was stated within other things.
Exactly, because the 14th Amendment states that no person shall be derived of life, liberty, or property mm-hmm. without due process of law, and that is definitely connected within the 5th Amendment.
Yeah. So building off of that, so that shows the importance, but now do you think there's any way you could possibly break down this amendment into three main aspects that really just show what it really is, and if people could, like, understand what it really meant, these three things would help them.
Sure. I would definitely say that the 5th Amendment breaks down into reliability, coercion, adversarial system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Could you expand on each of those just so we can really understand how they each build off?
Yeah, sure. So to start off, the reliability is basically just the trust that people have in the court and how they're how comfortable they are with their information being trusted with the court.
Yeah, for sure. So what would you say in the court is unreliable?
Definitely the testimony would be unreliable.
Yeah. Do you think this could be, like, the unreliability factor? Do you think that could be avoided completely in any way or no?
No, definitely not, because it just, the way it is the testimony is inherently unreliable.
Oh. So could you give us an example just of this concept being used in court so we can kind of put it into perspective?
Yeah, sure. So say an innocent person who can be forced to talk might confess for the simple goal of ending an interrogation.
Oh, exactly. Okay. So could you kind of relate it back to the 5th Amendment? How could the 5th Amendment maybe help this in a way?
Yeah, so basically, the people are restricted, as well as court officers, from creating a biased testimony.
Okay, so that makes sense.
And so, next we'll move on to coercion, and so that's the second aspect. And that would basically means that people are naturally inclined to persuade others to how they feel.
So, who is this strategy used by, like, in reference to the 5th Amendment to the court, who would this be used by?
It is used by many law enforcement officers.
Oh, okay. So what is the overall purpose? Like, I know you said persuasion, but in court, in terms of court,
They use this so if they know any information that could help the court make a decision,
they'll cry out.
Yeah, it's just like a tactic that mm-hmm. they'll use if they know something's there, but they're not.
Yeah, so it's just
it.
Natural. It's like kind of like how we said reliability was inherently like just there. So this is kind of there as well. So what is like, how far could this be taken? Could the persuasion be used like even in violence in any way?
Yeah, definitely. Law enforcement officers could resort all the way down to torture, which is obviously not what we want, but it has been used in the past.
Yeah.
And this is, they have the ability to do this.
Okay, so how does, not even the 5th Amendment, but, like, just how has this been, like, helped? Because I know I haven't heard many cases about, like, this being that much of an issue. So how has it evolved to be, like, kind of dealt with now?
Well, basically, more certification is required to work in courts, obviously, because you can't just have anybody going, like, I'm going to torture this person. Obviously, that's not what we want.
Yeah.
And the amendment allows people to stay silent if they believe what they're being asked is unfair or uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, it's in their right mm-hmm. to say, I'm not gonna answer this question from you.
For sure. That definitely.
Okay, so the third and final aspect of the 5th Amendment is the adversarial system, which is basically a system in law which helps represent the prosecution and the defense in with a judge or jury to determine the truth of the matter. But more relevant to the Fifth Amendment, I would just say conflict.
Yeah, that makes more sense. So our legal system was originally founded on conflict, right?
Fresh out of the separation from Britain.
Yeah, so what is a different way that legal systems could have been created to have a better?
Another way is through curiosity rather than conflict.
Oh.
So basically just, I want to make this government.
Yeah,
rather than, okay, we're in a position where we need to make this government.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how does the background of conflict encourage other things? So what does it encourage?
It creates the government to be in favor of proving someone guilty.
Oh.
It's like that is their goal, no matter who they are. Like, their goal is to get them to be proven of what they did.
Yeah. Okay, so how does the Fifth Amendment actually, like, kind of help this or go along the lines of this important?
It protects the people from the double jeopardy, meaning that one person can't be trialed twice for the same cause. So if they've already been tried for a crime and they were proven to be not guilty, they can't be tried a second time for that same crime.
Okay. So some questions, not for you to answer, just some questions to have our audience think about, and me in a way just think about and reflect on is... maybe how will this amendment actually change in the future? And does everyone actually know about this amendment in depth? And do people use this amendment regularly to protect their own rights? Those are just some questions I'm, like, wondering with myself with our society today. But so we're going to run into Act 3 now and to close up our podcast. So the first question is, what events shaped our understanding of this amendment?
So, I actually have an example of a court case where it was Albert Twining and David Cornell were convicted of showing false banking papers to a New Jersey State banking auditor, and in court, they used their self-incrimination as they refused to take the stand to confirm or refute the validity of the documents. So, when asked, they said, no, I have the right to remain silent, and I don't have to answer any of these questions.
Yeah.
And another example would honestly just be every court case since the Bill of Rights was ratified, and people began to use self-incrimination, the use of the grand jury, in eminent domain without compensation. It's commonly used whenever it happens. People know they have this right in court.
Yeah. Wow, so that's a lot of information. What sources did you actually get this information from?
Most sources that I used were personal experiences of knowledge, informational law websites that were informing us on the reality of the Fifth Amendment, you know, going more into depth, not just what is it and what is it, does it say in the Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
And these sources were all considered, if you say, good sources, because they were trustworthy nonprofit educational websites.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on our podcast today.
Thank you for having me. It's really been a great time.
Yeah, I think this this podcast will help a lot of people, not just me, but our audience, become aware of everything. And we'd like to thank the producers and all the people behind the scenes of this podcast, and our sponsor, of course, which is Beats Headphones. And we'll see you guys next time.